Welcome to Elevations, bringing new perspectives to science, technology, education, and the arts. I'm Amy Reynolds. We recently visited the College of Aeronautics and Engineering at Kent State University and spoke with Dr. Yanhai Du.
In this room, we have fuel cells that run on room temperature. We have fuel cells that run a couple of 100 degrees Celsius.
He is team leader and principal investigator of Kent State's fuel cell program, a material scientist and an internationally recognized scholar in solid oxide fuel cell research and development. He describes Angela Dybul as one of his rising stars.
I'm a marketing major and an engineer. My goal is to kind of provide that platform for the two to speak. The general public and the people that are too smart for even me to understand. I want to kind of be the middleman for that.
Part of what hooked Angela on engineering was Dr. Du's assigning her as team leader on a project to build a zero emissions vehicle. We took a ride with her in it.
All right, so we're driving across campus on a golf cart and is using both solar energy and some energy from batteries. The idea is to be completely self-sufficient, off the wall, and use only solar power and fuel cell energy.
The fuel cell concept is what we wanted to explore. So we asked Angela, how do you build one?
Step one in building a fuel cell would be gathering your powders, and then you create a slip. There's like a mug. If you want to create a mug, you have a bunch of powders, you mix them together, and you create clay. Step two would be giving that clay or that slip into a form. For a fuel cell, we like to create tubular ones in this lab, but you can make them as flat as a piece of paper or you can make them into a tube. They come in very different shapes. You take your now hardened tube and you put it into a furnace and you fire it. And the idea of the tube is because you have to have hydrogen on one side and oxygen on the other. Air will be on the outside of the tube and hydrogen will be on the inside of the tube. You can shoot hydrogen through it. They go through the pores of the ceramic. They'll meet in the middle layer, the electrolyte plate. They'll meet the middle, and that's when that catalyst happens.
They make multiple tubes for each fuel cell system, and the tubes have wires attached for collecting the electricity that's created chemically.
There's three layers of a fuel cell, so the electrolyte plate would just be the middle layer, and it is the most dense layer. So the anode and the cathode are very porous on both sides. That's so the air can diffuse into the center and that the hydrogen can diffuse into the center, but we have to keep those actually separate. That purpose of the electrolyte plate is just to be a dense, solid part of the ceramic tube in the middle. So if we have a fuel cell with hydrogen going through it, oxygen being exposed to the anode, then it will produce electricity.
We learned that fuel cells can be made from various materials. Dr. Du told us about the temperatures they run.
The lowest that you probably can do close to below room temperature is fine. There's one type of fuel cell called the polymer electrolyte fuel cell. And another type of fuel cell we are focused on in this lab, solid oxide fuel cell. You have to raise the temperature up to, say, 500 or 450 for this type of material to start generating electricity. The highest one you can go to about 1,000 degrees Celsius. So the higher the temperature, the better the efficiency. Inside the fuel cell, the working environment is that hot. And outside, we have insulation. And to a point that you can touch, put your finger there, it's not going to burn your finger.
The potential uses for fuel cells are pretty diverse.
They can be huge, they can be very small. So the military uses them often for portable power.
If we put it in the car, it's almost all the time it will be a hybrid fuel cell and battery system. So they use the battery as a cushion, if you like, to quickly start up. And during shutdown, you can turn down the fuel cell and run a battery.
In far places, telephone companies use fuel cells, right? And the reason they do that is because they can have it way off into the desert and it'll just sit there on standby and be ready to be turned on at any moment and generate electricity. So AT&T is particularly known in Africa for using this exact module.
Use it as cars, buses, drones, and airplane, mm-hmm. and trains. The first hydrogen fuel cell train already been put in practice in service late last year.
The research is ongoing and very detailed, but the concept seems very basic.
A fuel cell will generate electricity as long as it has hydrogen. So if the fuel has hydrogen, like methane has hydrogen in it, natural gas, propane, if it has hydrogen in it, it will produce electricity. That's the key ingredient. It's the unique properties of these materials that provide us with the cool component of turning hydrogen into electricity, and the other byproduct that it generates is water.
Thanks to Dr. Yanhai Du and Angela Dybul for sharing what they're working on in the fuel cell lab at Kent State University. Elevations is produced by Joe Gunderman, John Nungesser, and Ellie Ellis. I'm Amy Reynolds, Dean of Kent State's College of Communication and Information. Join us every Saturday morning on 89.7 WKSU.